I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. This past season, the Giants celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Super Bowl XXV champion New York Giants, that team from 1990. They started out 10-0 with Phil Simms as quarterback, but he got hurt. And enter Jeff Hostetler, a guy who had tried for so long to get an opportunity. Jeff Hostetler is the focus of our legacy interview.
Jeff, you drafted by the Giants in 84. Any idea of what you're getting into as far as the organization or any understanding about the Giants at that point?
I had none. I didn't really know who the head coach was, didn't know what the quarterback situation was. I remember getting to camp and then hearing that it was basically going to be a quarterback competition between Phil Simms and Jeff Rutledge. And, again, I didn't know what to expect, didn't know what to expect for those two quarterbacks and where I fit in.
And Hostetler would learn early on that his initiation to the Giants would be a baptism under fire.
My rookie year, you know, they bring the quarterbacks in early. So I've learned quarterbacks don't get hit, you know, during training camp. And Parcells brings everybody together and we're going to have a little scrimmage. So he puts me in and then says, hey, it's live. And I can remember Lawrence Taylor looking, and I didn't know him, I just heard of him. And of course, first play is a pass, a drop back. I take five steps, and next thing you know, I am drilled into the mud. And I just can remember getting up, pulling my helmet back down, straightening it around. LT helped me up, and he said, hey, sorry, but when he says you go, you gotta go. And you know, I just looked at him, then I turned around, I looked, and Parcells is looking that way, and Simms and Rutledge are both laughing. You know, and I thought, heck, you think that's going to get to me, Parcells? You're crazy. You know, and that was my introduction.
And things wouldn't get any easier for Hostetler as he found himself the Giants' third-string backup with hardly any playing time his first 3 years in the league.
You know, I realized that it was going to be a difficult situation for me to get an opportunity. And after the first year, second year came and went, and the third year, Phil played extremely well. And it was one of those situations where I wanted to get out on the field, and it looked like the only possibility for me getting out onto the field was, try to do anything else I could. So played special teams, played wide receiver, did everything I could just to get myself out on that field. I think as an athlete, I was very, very frustrated in the fact that I could play the game, but you can't get out on the field unless you have an opportunity. And again, the only thing you could do was ask for a trade, cut me, release me, do something. And I wasn't able to make that happen. I grew up on a farm. We had 18,000 chickens. We had dairy cows. We had a lot of things break down. And watching my dad, you know, work on that farm, there was never any quit. You just kept plugging. And you didn't know what was around the corner. And for me, I think my faith in believing that God had a plan for me and gave me the abilities to play in that league, I didn't know when the opportunities were going to come. All I knew was I had to prepare myself and be ready for them when they did come.
Jeff Hostetler would have to wait 5 long years before finally completing his first pass as a New York Giant. In 1988, Bill Parcells would start him against the New Orleans Saints in Week 13. After an 85-yard touchdown toss to Stephen Baker in the first half, Parcells would decide to bench Hostetler in the second half on a hunch, starting Jeff Rutledge instead.
Bill, are you concerned about the effect of pulling Jeff Hostetler out of the game at the end of the first half against New Orleans?
If his sensitivity level is too great and he can't cope with a little adversity and a little criticisms, then it might have an effect. I'm certainly not worried about the player's ego. And those are the decisions I make. And, if he's unhappy with the Giants and doesn't feel like he has a future here, well, fine, he can go somewhere else. I want guys that want to beat Giants.
I had it. I tried everything that I could to get out of New York. And I kept running into a stone wall. I met with Parcells and had a very heated discussion about hunches, about me, about opportunities. But again, you know, he's a head guy, and you got to basically do what he's going to say is going on, and there was no chance to take off and go.
But Jeff's challenge in his professional career would pale in comparison to what he was dealing with in his personal life. Following the birth of their first son, Jeff and his wife Vicky would have to painfully stand by as their newborn fought for his life through four open-heart surgeries.
Seeing my oldest go through what he did, the struggle, it was just, there wasn't going to be any quit.
Inspired by his son's strength, Jeff would find added comfort and empathy through the Giants family patriarch, Wellington Mara.
I learned an awful lot from Mr. Mara about compassion. When my wife and I were going through the things we were with my oldest son, Jason, he understood what it was like to have a family, the importance of being there when things were tough, and provided my wife with opportunities to get in and out of the city into the hospital with my son, me opportunities at different times to get away from practice to be able to be together with my wife and my son through those times. It was pretty special. I have great respect for Mr. Mara and just so thankful for his help in desperate times for my wife and I.
Jeff and his family would persevere through hard times. And in a prelude of what was to come, Hostetler would start two games for the Giants in 1989, filling in for an injured Phil Sims and winning them both.
You know, I continue to plug away, and I think, you know, you continue to plug away and put the team first. I think in the end, good things will happen.
Jeff, up until that point, had been kind of the Swiss Army knife for Bill Parcells. Whatever he needed him to do, he did it, you know, 100%. And we knew he was a tough guy.
Jeff, you know, we might be going with a fake here.
Banksy, you set on this fake if we run it?
Where's Haas? Hostetler!
Snap. Let's go, it's a fake. Hostetler's going to pass. Does. He's got a receiver. Complete. And he's going to score.
After 6 years of waiting for an opportunity, Jeff Hostetler finally got his shot in 1990. Phil Sims' injury-riddled season would open the door for Haas to step up and prove himself as the Giants' starting quarterback.
The game against the Cardinals, to be able to come in and bring us back from behind and win that game was huge. But I think even more so for me was the Cowboy game. We were still fighting for the game. The outcome was still unknown. And all of a sudden, Parcells starts yelling for me on the sideline.
Jeff! Where's Hostetler?
And puts me in. He wanted to see what I could do in an instant's notice and was able to take the team down and score. I think that was a huge thing for me, and I think it was big for Bill because I think he likes to run a lot of tests and he likes to challenge guys in different ways, and I think for me that was a great opportunity to go out in a tough situation and perform, and then it stopped.
In week 8 of the 1990 season, a healthy Phil Sims returned to the lineup, and Hostetler's taste of success as a starter would once again be short-lived. Completely fed up with temporary playing time, the longtime backup had almost reached his breaking point.
It was 6.5 years, and I think I almost resigned myself to say I was never going to get a chance here. I was just frustrated. I was tired. I remember coming home, telling my wife at the dinner table after we had finished eating, we just sat there and just said, babe, this is it. At the end of this season, we're heading back home, and I'll find something else to do. I'm done.
But in a simple twist of fate, Phil Sims would go down with a season-ending injury against Buffalo in Week 15, and Hostetler would be called upon once again to take over at quarterback.
I have a lot of faith, and God's got a plan for me, and he just had different plans, and it was the opportunity that I'd been waiting for, the opportunity I'd been praying for, my family had been praying for, and right there it was, and it was just time to go out and do it.
But Haas and the Giants would fall short in their comeback attempt versus the Bills, leading to media scrutiny and skeptics everywhere doubting the backup's ability to lead Big Blue as the playoffs approached.
Outside the locker room, I was, again, the weak link. Giants were done. All the New York press, all over the country, every supposed expert, Giants weren't going to be able to get anything done with a backup quarterback.
you know, the only time you really got a chance to appreciate Hostetler was in practice because he had to play against our team. So we knew what his skill set was. So losing Phil Sims, who was probably one of the toughest guys we had in our locker room, and putting Jeff in there, we didn't lose much because Jeff was a pretty tough guy too.
I was very confident that these guys believed in me. I know they did. And to have a guy like Carl on the opposite side, he knew the struggles, the opportunities that hadn't come, the frustration, and these guys were going to play their hearts out for me, and they knew I was going to do the same.
Hostetler's mobility would give New York an added dimension, and despite the critics, the Giants would win their last two games of the regular season with Haas leading the way.
After losing your quarterback, everybody said you can't win without your starting quarterback. Well, Jeff Hostetler proved that wrong.
And as the playoffs began, the Bears would be the first challenge in Hostetler's march to success.
To go in that game, to take that first snap against Chicago and go across the line of scrimmage and look at Singletary and first play of the game, seeing those big eyes and saying, wow, they really are that big. And then boom, back into it. To have won that game and won it so decisively as the starter in my first playoff game, it was a great feeling, but it got tucked aside real quickly because next week we were going to San Francisco and they were going for the three-peat. It was Joe Montana and that whole group.
49er game, you just got hammered and you just kept getting back up. What was that game like for you physically and mentally fighting through that?
Physically, there was some tough times, but I'd taken one shot by Jim Burt on the knee and hyperextended it back, and I had a pop and searing pain, and I knew it was over. And actually, trainers were out there trying to talk to me, and I couldn't let go of my knee because of the pain. And, all of a sudden, there was just a calming sense, a peace over me, and the pain went. I came over the sideline. The knee was loose, but I remember just trying to work it out, and I remember Parcells coming over and saying, can you go? Can you go? And I said, yeah, I can go. And then he left, and then he came back again. He said, can you go? And I yelled back at him, yeah, I can go. I'm going.
Hostetler was trying to pass, runs away from trouble, turns upfield, runs to the sideline and throws on the run and completes the ball. Yeah!
And we were able to come back. I was able to finish and hit a couple passes to, I think, Favaro and Baker to get us down into field goal position and let Barr do his job.
Giants are trailing by a point. All depends on Matt Barr. Fans are on their feet and screaming. Snap, spot. Kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good. Good.
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
Great job, Bill. Congratulations, man.
I think after that game, getting to the locker room, just sitting there and just kind of thinking a little bit and realizing, wow, all these people said it couldn't be done, and we're going to the Super Bowl.
First of all, the Super Bowl, without a doubt, the ultimate as far as emotions, the feelings that you have standing in that tunnel waiting to be introduced. Running out and seeing everybody holding the little American flags. I still get chills thinking about that time.
And the atmosphere outside the football community, what was going on in the world with the Gulf War. And we were going against a team that was supposedly the lock of the year to win the Super Bowl, and we were underdogs again, but we liked that role.
Showtime,
hey, baby, what you talking about?
Showtime!
Talk to me.
We actually survived a bombardment from them early on. I mean, they were fast, quick defensive unit that had some big-name players.
What a hit on Hostetler. And Hostetler is down and not moving.
In the first half, I was dinged up, got hit, and they were giving me smelling salts. And then, boom, back into the game.
One of the most important plays in that Super Bowl is the safety that you took. because I'm guessing 9 times out of 10, most quarterbacks are coughing that ball up. It's a touchdown, and maybe that game gets out of reach. But you're able to keep the ball, and suddenly a safety didn't seem like such a bad thing.
As I dropped back, I think Otis had to step in to pick somebody up. And as he stepped in, he caught my foot. I started to stumble. The ball comes back. And again, it felt like back home with my two older brothers in the yard. I felt this big old mitt on my arm.
Hostetler hits in the end zone.
And then it was everything I could do to try to get the rest of my body wrapped back around and try to find the ball.
Safety.
You know, at the time, I was fired up just because, you know, you don't want to give up a safety. It cost us 2 points, but it ended up being a huge play. It could have turned the game completely the opposite way, but you're fortunately able to tuck it in and just give up 2.
Hostetler and the Giants had taken the Bills' best shot, and like a true champion, he picked himself up and summoned the courage and strength to fight back even harder.
All of a sudden it was, okay guys, it's do or die. We gotta start wearing these guys down, and we gotta play smash mouth football. We gotta move it around, move the pocket around, mix up run and pass, and that's what we ended up doing.
Baker and Ingram are in. Third down, Giants need 7 points. Hostetler looking for help, looking for a receiver. Throws end zone, touchdown, Baker!
We mentioned it was gut check time, and these Giants just passed that gut check. Came down and scored 7 when they needed it. Jason Baker from Hostetler, great job.
I think that gave all of us confidence. I think that gave our offensive line confidence. And I think that was the key. I mean, guys stepped up, made plays. We blocked well. We ran the ball well.
And look at Otis Anderson throw the uppercut.
Everybody after that knew that we could get it done.
Giants on the 1.5-yard line. O.J. touchdown! The Giants take the lead 16-12.
So you take a knee with your helmet, you're down off on the side there, and you're watching Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly drive the football. What's racing through your mind? Because your job is done at this point. Yeah. You've delivered the lead. There's nothing else I can do.
Yeah, I can remember watching the defense, watching them move the ball down, watching the clock, and then when they lined up for the field goal. And I just took a knee and just watched and firmly believed God had a plan for me. Had no idea what was going to happen, but I just knew that I was going to take this moment in.
Scott Norwood, he can fire the shot heard round the world now and win a Super Bowl.
I can see the snap. I can hear the kick. He hit it good, and I remember just slow motion and just watching the ball and not being able to tell whether it was good or not.
Stayed there for a while, just savoring it and just watching our guys race all over the place. And then having won the game and being back in the locker room and then having my two kids with me.
You did it, man. Congratulations.
Every one of my brothers is in there. My wife, who's pregnant, is in, all celebrating something that 6 weeks earlier didn't even seem a possibility. It was pretty special.
It's hard for me to believe that it's been 25 years since that miraculous season, but I tell you, this was such a special group of guys, a special group of players.
Great to see you.
Well, it seems like a long time ago, but you know what? You get back here and you see the guys, and you start seeing some video of it, and a lot of stuff's still fresh in your mind, and that, to me, is pretty amazing.
Today, the Giants have a very special presentation as we honor and pay tribute to one of the greatest teams in Big Blue history.
In Super Bowl 25, they didn't give us a chance. A backup quarterback, an old running back, but we had you guys.
We're glad to get back together, share it with each other, and we thank all you Giant fans for your undying support for all the years. Thanks a lot. Go Giants!
The trying career and year for Jeff Hostetler ended in the ultimate prize, being the starting quarterback of a Super Bowl championship team. And his toughness and his resiliency was one of the characteristics that most symbolized that team in 1990. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and of course at Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Popple. We'll see you again next week for another edition of Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota.
Giants Access Blue is brought to you in part by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.